Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Welcome to A Sinking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. My guest today is Sarah Esther Brooks. She is the author of the Newsday Connected Journal, coming out at the end of this month, Becoming Holy, One Virtue at a Time. I'm so excited to bring to you Sarah Esther Brooks. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Allison. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm hoping that if somebody is watching live, let me know if you can see Sarah or me. I can see Sarah, but she can't see me. So on the live feed, if you're out there watching today on Facebook Live, where we record every Thursday, the Seeking Heart podcast, let us know. Hopefully this is going to record, because Sarah, I know you're going to have some really good stuff to say. So welcome to the Stay Connected Journal family. Let's start with the writing process. How was the process for you?
Well, it was a little bit of a whirlwind. I remember back when I was first talking to you and Jerry about this project, and you invited me on, and I was so excited. And then you set a deadline, and it was a little bit quicker than I realized, but it was actually good to kind of get that kick in the pants, because I had all these ideas in my head. But having the deadline really made me feel like focused and organized. And I got up and wrote every morning for, I think it was 6 weeks, and just got this thing done. It was actually really cool and really rewarding. And I love just having that focus and being able to dive in. So thank you. And especially since you already had like the whole setup, you know, the whole format set up, it was really quite nice to have that all organized for me.
I could. Well, the good news, Sarah, is that people watching can see both of us. Even though you can't see me, other people can see both of us. So that's wonderful. Thank you, Mary Ellen. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for giving me the heads up on what people are seeing out there. Make sure we record correctly. I really could take a lesson from you, Sarah, because I am not that dedicated. In fact, you made your deadline and this girl missed it. So that actually worked out well for you, because your book got to come out before mine.
Yeah, I was dedicated to meeting that deadline. I'm a deadlines kind of person, so if I set one, I do everything I can to meet it.
That is a great virtue right there, right? Persistence, being sticking to the things that you're told, and it's actually a real great lesson for everybody else. Procrastination gets you bumped. But I'm really glad, Sarah, that your book came out before mine, because it is wonderful. My book, by the way, is From Worry to Trust. It's coming out in May, the next in the Stay Connected series. But today we're talking with Sarah Esther Brooks. Her book is Becoming Holy, One Virtue at a Time. So excited to have that part of our Stay Connected series. And that will be, again, it's available now for pre-order. You can get it through Amazon, and it is out the end of this month, just 15 short days away. So excited. So when we met you, Jerry, this was first originally with Grace Watch Media. Jerry Winley Douse was the one and head of Grace Watch at that time. And he still is, actually, but now these are with our Sunday Visitor. When we decided, Sarah, to invite you on to write about virtues, because we were both so amazed at your understanding about them. You do a lot in your own blogging and social media with virtues. What is it that drew you to this topic?
What drew me to the virtues was the fact that I didn't know enough about them and wasn't practicing them. And so that was why I was like, all right, well, I came to this realization that I wasn't practicing the virtues in my daily life. Like, I kind of had this intellectual awareness of them, but not this complete understanding that that made me want to practice them. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to look into what these mean, like the actual definitions and practically what they mean. Mm-hmm. And how can I actually practice these in my daily life and be more intentional about practicing them? And so from there, I started focusing on one virtue a month, and that grew into the virtue challenge on my blog. And just looking at the virtue, you know, the definition from the catechism and then ways to practice it and really thinking about it every single day and trying to grow in it every single day. And then from there, from the virtue challenge, you know, becoming holy one virtue at a time kind of grew out of that.
Let's talk a little bit about the virtue challenge. It's on your website, to Jesus, sincerely, which is just a sweet list. All right, let's take one step back. The name of your blog, how did you come up with to Jesus, sincerely?
Yeah, so I actually didn't ever want to be a blogger or start blogging. And my family really encouraged me to do it because when I go to adoration, I like to write what I'm praying because it helps me stay focused. Otherwise, I'm just like, whoo, all over the place and distracted. So I try to write my prayers to Jesus, almost like a letter to Jesus. And sometimes I would share those like with, you know, my mom or my sister or someone like, do you want to read these thoughts that I was thinking? And they're like, you got to share these, you know, go online and share these. And I was like, no, that's silly. But so that's where the name of my blog comes from. Was I originally started with sharing my meditations, or I guess kind of like my letters to Jesus, you know, sincerely from me. And then it's grown out of that. I still like to share meditations and my thoughts on there. Now there's a lot of other things going on there too.
Yes, your brain is a wonderland of wonderful ideas. And we're going to talk about a lot of them, I hope, within our time together today. One of the things you just struck me that you're talking about, Sarah, and why the Lord definitely called you to be a contributor to the Stay Connected journals was this idea of writing, you know, writing to Jesus. There is scientific evidence that when we physically write with a pen and the paper, not just type, but write, that we make these mental connections and we're able to better process information. Now, trying to process what the Lord, you know, the unfathomable God has to teach us, it can be overwhelming. But to sit and to write, especially in adoration, I love Eucharistic adoration. I too had those like aha moments. Have you found like that has helped your own faith life, is writing these things down?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that's one way to connect, you know, we're body, soul composites. So I think writing when we're praying is one way to connect like that spiritual life with the, you know, the physical experiential, you know, how we live as, you know, people with bodies. So definitely, you know, what you said, the science of how it helps your brain, but also just connecting your spiritual life and your physical life for sure.
And haven't you felt like sometimes that you will read these over later and like, I wasn't even behind that pen. Like I was just holding it. And the Holy Spirit, I feel like
sometimes
it's ghostwriters.
Yeah, sometimes I go back to what I wrote and I'm like, this is really helpful. And I'm like, well, I wrote it, but it's like, I need to read this right now. Yeah, definitely. Especially when it's not just like me, but it's a really prayerful, you know, I'm coming before God and I start my writing and my meditation time with that prayer. You know, God, lead me, speak to me. Definitely when I go back, I can see the difference other than when I'm just writing what I feel like writing.
And you're talking about how you started this writing, but not as professional, not because I wanted to write this for other people. And my foray into writing journaling was the same thing. I journaled because this is how I process information. And I really found this is how God connected with me. This is, he used this love of mine and he knew how I would receive him into journaling, which is why the Stay Connected journals do have that component, not just of, and you said the format for anyone who's not yet opened them, and we hope that you will dive right in. There's four of them now, is an opening and a closing prayer. Sarah, your opening and closing prayers were beautiful, just so beautifully written. There's a reflection on the topic for the chapter. Then there is our question, one question to contemplate, which is usually what I consider the question for your own contemplation, your own journal writing, your own time with Jesus. So you can share that in your small group if you decide to, but for the most part, that's your own. How am I going to react to this whole topic? Then next comes my favorite part, the scripture study. The scriptures then followed by a reflection on the scriptures. again, tied to that first reflection and on the topic. And then the, you know, discussion questions, usually three of them for you to, again, do on your own and have that journaling time that we were just talking about. Or one of the ways I like to connect with other women, the Stay Connected name came from being effective, stay connected to God, to our spiritual life, and to others. And so there's those questions, and then again closes with a closing prayer. And you know, part of that was I really wanted to give women an opportunity to write, to reflect. And I'll hear, and you'll probably hear, Sarah, now as you go out and talk, or as more people start to do the book, that they're not journalers. I'm not a writer, I'm not a journaler. How would you respond to somebody who said maybe they don't want your book because I'm not really a writer?
No problem. I mean, you don't have to write if you don't want to write. You can doodle if you like to doodle, or you can just think and reflect and pray if that's what you like to do. It's not like, you know, a big empty book with, you know, an overwhelming amount of space to journal. There's plenty of space to journal, but there is so much else packed in here between the reflections and the prayers and the scripture verses to look up. And then the questions, whether you want to write them or not, I think that it's helpful to think about these things and pray about these things and process them to help you grow in your spiritual life.
Amen. So let's talk a little bit about the virtues themselves. What is a virtue, and what are the virtues that you can cover in the book?
So a virtue in general is like a firm and habitual disposition to do the good. So when we think of the virtues, these are the things that we think about when we think of, you know, the good and holy people we know. They're patient, they're humble, you know, so those are different examples of virtues. And I like to highlight that one of the parts of the definition is habitual. So the habits, you know, the things that we just kind of do without thinking. And you might think, okay, well, the virtues don't come to me like that, like a habit. And I thought the same thing. And that was why I started studying virtue, because these are things that we need to practice and that we need to grow in. They might not come naturally to us. And so that's why I think it's important to begin studying the virtues. And then the virtues can be broken down into different categories. You want me to talk about the two main categories that I cover in the book?
That'd be fantastic. Please.
Sure. So we talk about the theological virtues and the cardinal virtues as the two like main types of virtues. So the first one are the theological virtues. And theological, that word, you kind of think of like theology, the study of God, right? So the theological virtues are the virtues that help us relate to God. And these ones are like the basis of our relationship with God. So those three virtues are faith, hope, and love, or charity. And so these three virtues are infused in the soul by God. So have you ever had infused water?
I have. I love cucumber infused water. It's my favorite.
Oh, I like cucumber too. And I like strawberry and mint, or put berries in it. So if you've not had infused water, what you do is you drop, you know, some fruit or some vegetables or some lemon or whatever it is in a pitcher of water, and you wait. And what happens over time is the good stuff from that fruit, the flavor, the antioxidants, the nutrients, it kind of like seeps out into that water, and the water becomes more like the fruit. And so the theological virtues work in our soul this way. God places these virtues in our soul. And the more that we're receptive of them, the more that we will grow in these virtues, and the more we'll become like God. You know, we get these great qualities that make us more like God. So I like to think about faith, hope, and love that way, because these aren't the virtues that we necessarily have to practice or work hard at. More so, we have to be receptive of them. So then there's the cardinal virtues. So cardinal means like most important. And it's interesting actually to see the four cardinal virtues that are considered like the most important or the pivotal virtues. So it's prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude. And these are the cardinal virtues. And the reason that these four are the most important is because all of the rest of the virtues can kind of be grouped around them. Oh, and the cardinal virtues are the ones that we have to work hard at. Those are the ones that we have to practice and we have to grow in, and we have to use our human effort to really achieve these virtues. So let's think of virtues maybe like patience. Patience I would group under the virtue of fortitude. And so other things like maybe chastity, I would group under temperance. So a lot of the other virtues can be grouped under these four: prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude.
I'm writing them down. Prudence, Temperance, justice, and fortitude. I love that. I don't know if you can see under you or not, but scrolling, it says the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, infused virtues, much like infused water. I love that. I love
Yeah, I think it's really good to have like that, you know, that visual kind of relation to think about, help you understand it.
Yeah, because this stuff is hard. The things of God can be hard to understand. It's not like God makes them difficult to understand because he wants to confuse us or trip us up. It's just that he is God and his ways are not our ways. They're far above our ways, he tells us in the scriptures. So did you find it hard or easy finding scriptures to go with each one of these virtues?
Oh, well, I just looked up some of them, like, popped in my head that I think of. But I had like a compendium or whatever it's called at the Bible.
Concordance.
I just looked them up. One of the things I love to do is research in my Bible and my catechism and my Catholic dictionary. So I know like all the tips and tricks of finding things. So I have this compendium that lists like all the words and all the topics that you'll find in the Bible. And I looked up like each of them in there. So I kind of cheated. And then I picked like my favorite ones. But it was actually surprising how many times that you could find these virtues appearing in the Bible.
Well, exactly. I was thinking like you probably would find it hard to pick and choose because I didn't let you put everyone in there. We have like five or six that we kind of keep to so people aren't spending their whole time in the scriptures in just this one book. We want you to spend your whole time in the scriptures. The scriptures are amazing. And, you know, and also the Stay Connected journals purposely, we leave the answers out so that people will open up their Bible. They will spend some time with it, whatever version they like or they like to work with. But I also think that there's something about opening the scriptures and like maybe it's Philippians 4:6, which is one of my favorites, you know, have anxiety about nothing, but in everything pray. That's the Allison Abridged version. That might be, you know, what I'm thinking about when I think about, you know, for me to have that hope virtue. Like I struggle with hope, that trust, hope and trust with God. And I get very anxious and I get worried. So for me, when I'm trying to build on my virtue of hope, I like to turn to Philippians 4:6-7, but for somebody else, they might get to 4:6-7 and they may find that just below it where it says, you know, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And, maybe not, that's not where it says that. That's where it says, think of all things lovely. Sorry. Think of all things that are good and lovely and honorable. And that might be something that they need to help them with temperance. So I think it's really important that women spend time in the scriptures because you may think you're struggling with one of the virtues and God who knows all and depths this your soul be like, okay, girlfriend, what you really need, she really needs to work on this part of your life. So that's why there's no answers in there. People get so mad. They're like, why aren't the scriptures at the back of the book? Like, because I want God to speak to your heart.
And especially, and one thing I think about when looking up scriptures is you do have to like pull up the book and look because, you know, we pull out sometimes just these little pieces, tiny pieces of the verse, but sometimes you have to put that in context to understand like what happened before, what happened after, really where is this coming from and where is this going, you know, and not to take the scriptures out of context. So I love, you know, open up that Bible and look up the scripture verses and just, you know, explore it. I think it's a good chance to explore and get a little more familiar with the scriptures.
I agree. And I love that we can use our phones and we can use the internet, but there's also on your phone and in your internet, wherever you're looking it up, there's this little button, this little icon that you can click on that says expand or enter the scriptures here. And I highly recommend taking advantage of that. Enter the scriptures there and don't just focus on the sentence, the scripture we've sent you to, but also be aware that the Lord may be trying to speak to your heart in some other way. So what is it that you think that women, or would you like, I should say, what would you like to see women who pick up becoming holy, which also, by the way, even though it's pink, is still very good for men. I want you to tell the story of the the priest who, the censor who did the imprimatur, a priest. Tell us about that, and then I'll ask you that second question again.
Yeah. So Jerry was telling me that the priest who did the imprimatur really was enjoying the book and a big fan of the book. And so even though the book is bright pink, he said that he was going to order a bunch of copies for his men's scripture study group, which I thought was just too cool and too funny that he loved it so much that he wanted to use it with his men's scripture study group. So don't be, if you're a man and you're watching this, don't be afraid to pick it up. Even though it's pink, I think it's good for men and women. If you feel like you need to buy it for your wife and then read it yourself, like you can sneak it through that way. But either way, I think that you should get it.
And you know, I really was so impressed with your writing. In fact, it out of the four books so far, it was the only one that came back with the censor without any. I mean, he was just so enthralled by your writing and what you had to say that it didn't come back with all of these changes, and you'd hit the nail on the head, which was pretty amazing. So back to my,
yeah, he was very kind.
Yeah, he was amazed. He's like, I want this book now. This is so great. So back to my original question that brought us down that rabbit hole was, so what do you hope that women who pick up the book will get from it?
Yeah. So the biggest thing that I hope that women will get from this book is that you can be a saint too. Yeah. Holiness is for you too. So growing up, and I don't put the blame on anyone for this, but growing up, I had this kind of idea of the saints as people who were already perfect, like throughout their lives. And a lot of times I read these like saint books for kids that gave me this curated idea of the lives of the saints, right? Like they were always perfect. They were always patient. They were always good and kind to everyone, and they never did anything wrong. So growing up, I kind of felt like, gee, I can't be a saint. I'm never going to be like this. You know, I'm never going to be perfect. I have so many faults. And it was kind of, you know, a little disheartening to me. But one thing I held on to was that, okay, well, maybe when I find my vocation, right, that's when I'll be holy, because you hear that your vocation can make you holy, right? So I got married and I realized that didn't make me holy. And all of my sins and failings, my faults, my weaknesses, they were like pronounced, you know, they came out in an even bigger way now that I was sharing my life in such an intimate way with someone. And so I just thought that, like, well, what is holiness then? What does it take and how can I achieve this? And I discovered in the catechism, it says that not only, you know, is there a vocation to the priesthood or to religious life or to marriage, but every single Christian has this universal vocation to holiness. And that doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. What that means is that you have to constantly work and strive to grow and to serve the Lord in whatever situation in daily life that he calls you to. So if you think holiness is not for you because you're not perfect, I just want to like totally smash those yeah. you know, unrealistic expectations of yourself with this book and help you understand that like you don't have to be perfect right now, but this book will help you start to, you know, just be intentional about growing and coming closer to Jesus and closer to heaven, you know, just one step at a time. And one thing I like to say is that the book is called Becoming Holy, not Already Holy. So if you're looking for more of that, you know, more of that becoming and entering on the journey, definitely this book is for you.
I love that point that it's called Becoming Holy, not Already Holy. That is so, it's so smart, because I think that's a very common misconception for most people. I don't think I've ever met anybody yet who was like, oh, I knew this whole time I could be a saint. Most people say exactly what you just said. I saw these perfect avatars, if you will, of these saints who seemed like they never got mad. They never gossiped. They never, you know, fought with their spouse or their parents or yelled at their children and thought, I will never be a saint because I struggle with all of these and infinitely more things. But being able to focus on the virtue, a saint really isn't somebody who had it worked out and were perfect, but they perfectly followed God, meaning they knew that they needed to follow God. They sought God and his holiness, his grace, and all that he had to offer. And they worked out their, you know, we're redeemed by Christ, but we work out our salvation. And they worked it out in a very imperfect way, but knowing they needed that perfect, the only perfection they have, I suppose I should have said it this way, was that they loved God.
Yes. And it's funny because somebody asked me once after I started doing the whole virtue challenge and writing about virtue and putting it out there publicly, they said, how many of these virtues have you mastered since you started doing the virtue challenge? And I said, none. I'm not perfect in any of them. That's not why I'm writing about this. The reason I'm writing about this is because I'm hungry to learn about it and I'm hungry to grow. And like, I'm right there with everyone else, imperfect, falling daily, you know, constantly needing confession. But I think that we can be dedicated to growing through our failures and not becoming dejected by them.
Let's talk a little bit about the virtue challenge again. Now, do you still continue that on your website, or is there, can you look at the archives? What's happening with the virtue challenge?
Yeah, if you go to JesusSincerely.com, there's a lot of things on the homepage that you can find. And one of them, there's a link that goes straight to the virtue challenge page where you can find all the different virtue challenges. Now, in the past, I have picked one to do like each month. So some of them might still have those labels, like this is the one for January. It doesn't matter what month it says on it. But there's a lot of different challenges on there, and included are the virtues that are covered in the book, but there's also more like meekness, humility. I did a bunch of challenges for stewardship. So if you go to the virtue challenge just on my homepage, to JesusSincerely.com, you'll find all these different virtues. And if you see one that sparks you interest, that you say, I want more of that, you can click on that. And there's like a little informational post, I would say, or article that explains what the virtue is, and then give some practical tips of how to practice it in your daily life, and then challenges you, you know, take a month and, you know, don't ignore every other virtue, but focus especially on this one virtue and growing in it a little bit every day. So that's the essence of the virtue challenge.
What a great tie-in for any group, small group doing becoming holy one virtue at a time, to use your virtue challenge on to Jesus Sincerely. Maybe pick, I mean, I know that it should be a month that you spend time on it, but maybe the 7 weeks that they're doing the book, they could each pick and read the materials that coincide with, that would be a great tie-in for, and I know you have a lot of wonderful downloads and resources. And even for the book, we have beautiful downloads. You say a little bit about how those are going to be available to people?
Yeah, so that was really exciting. So Gina from Someday Saints Designs illustrated, I think there were 5 quotes from the book, Becoming Holy One Virtue at a Time. And they're just beautiful. They're beautifully done. And you can get them on my site, tojesussincerely.com. When you look at the spot that says book or becoming holy, you'll find that on my site. And they're a free download right now. You can get all 5 of those prints for free. They're great quotes from the book just to encourage you, you know, decorate your house, bring a little joy into it, remind you to practice the virtues. But they're only free until the book launches on January 31st, at which point we're going to start charging for them. So pre-order your book now, Becoming Holy One Virtue at a Time. And when you do that, you can get those prints for free on my website, tojesussincerely.com.
And they are beautiful. And I was thinking, like, even if you're to print them out and to stick them in the book, or just, you know, I have books where I have journals to go with it, even though it's a journaling book, I still have a separate journal to go with it, because sometimes there's more things I want to talk about. And I go back to them. I've done the book several times because I did it as for myself. I did it with different groups, and to be able to print those out and put them in there, doodle around them. I know a lot of people like to bullet journal. I'm one of those people. There are just so many beautiful ways that we can use these downloads. So I have to remember to get a set of those pretty things, because they really came out quite wonderful. Now, Sarah, you have a lot of social media and a lot of exciting stuff happening around the book. Can you give us a little insight? I know, like, it's so poor Sarah. Let me just step back a minute. She's been the most patient and energetic author. I threw a million ideas at her, and we ended up doing all of them. They all seemed too good not to do. So we've got Facebook and Instagram, and I'll let you talk a little bit about the plan.
There's a lot going on. So you may have noticed that I've had interviews here and there while we're working up to the launch. But as soon as that launch date comes, January 31st, we have so many exciting things going on that I can hardly keep straight in my head. So first of all, over on Instagram, if you follow me on Instagram, It's at To Jesus Sincerely. We're going to start on January 31st. We're going to start 7 days of giveaways that coincide with the seven virtues covered in the Virtue Challenge. And we partnered with some amazing Catholic artists and artisans who are donating some really cool gifts that, you know, are associated with the virtues to give away. So I'm super excited for that. Lots of chances to win cool stuff and win my book. And then if you follow me on Facebook at To Jesus Sincerely, starting again on January 31st, we're going to be doing a week of Facebook posts, and we have some other you know, influencers or Catholic bloggers who are going to share their own personal reflections on, they're going to do one virtue each. And so that's going to be going on Facebook for a week along with the launch. So you get to see like somebody else's, you know, perspective on these virtues as well. And there's going to be another giveaway going along with that. And then, okay, so after the Instagram and the Facebook thing are over, I don't remember the date that it's starting because my brain. But after that, stay tuned because the fun is not going to stop. It's going to keep going. And we're going to have this really cool virtues-based blog tour where other, you know, Catholic bloggers who are super cool are going to join up, and they're going to blog about one of the virtues. It'll be a full blog post about the virtues. Those will be coming out once a week to give you time to like catch up and read everything that's going to be going on. So we'll have one virtue a week to get somebody else's perspective on the virtue. And there will be another giveaway going along with that. And Allison, if I remember correctly, I think some of the other books are involved in some of these giveaways, or I'm not sure, my brain.
Yeah, you know? each giveaway will include, well, amongst all the other amazing stuff being offered, will be included all, one of the prizes is all four books. So you can get all four of the Stay Connected journals, the Gift of Invitation, which was my contribution. It will also include the Fruits of the Spirit by Deanna Bartoloni, and the Spiritual Classics by Tiffany Walsh. And then of course, Sarah's brand new book, Becoming Holy. It is so exciting. It's exciting that we're able to bring this book finally here. It feels like we've been working on it for a year. Oh wait, we have. To finally have it out there, to finally have women have this opportunity to really dive into the one thing I think helps, besides grace, that helps their faith really grow exponentially, which is spending time with the virtues. So Sarah, before we go, I also want to talk a little bit about your website. You also have on there, just as an aside, the mass challenge, my mass takeaway. Sorry, I wrote challenge by mistake, but
yeah, battery is about to die. You can't believe this. I charged this before we started, but I think that my phone is like hitting its limit. So I'll talk about my mass takeaway as quickly as I can, but I might end up disappearing. I hope that I don't. So my mass takeaway is really cool. It's a community building hashtag on Instagram. Every Sunday, whoever wants to is invited to share your thoughts about the Mass, whether it's the homily, your experience, just your joy at receiving the Eucharist, your struggles if you have kids in tow. Share those on Instagram. Use the hashtag MyMassTakeaway and then pop on to read other people's thoughts and experiences about the Mass. It's just so amazing to just connect with the body of Christ this way and see how God is touching everybody's lives through the gift of the Mass.
Oh my gosh. And you didn't disappear. So tell us how we can keep following you and how we can get the book before we lose you.
All right. ToJesusSincerely.com is my website, and I'm on Facebook and Instagram at ToJesusSincerely. You can get Becoming Holy One Virtue at a Time at our Sunday Visitor, or you can find it right on Amazon. And if you forget, just go to my website. There's a ton of information there to help you out.
Well, lots of good stuff coming. You know, I'll be sharing all of it, and we'll be talking about it again through, a Seeking Heart. Sarah, thank you so much for spending this time with us today. And I look forward to the feedback from women as they get to spend time with Becoming Holy One Virtue at a Time by today's guest, Sarah Esterbrooks. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks for having me, Allison.
My pleasure. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.